Hey guys, before I get into the episode, I've kind of finished the whole entire thing, but I wanted to add this up front. So what I did is I named the segments after their Patreons or podcasts, and I put that on there so I should have all the correct spellings, and that way it'll be a little bit easier to find. So if they come up on there on what I'm talking, I've added all their Patreons and their podcast names on there. So just take a chance to look at that if you're interested in looking at them, so that way you can remember them. All right, now back to the introduction. And I guess this is the second introduction. So, all right, guys, thanks. Hey, guys, this is Tim Shorts of Gothridge Manor. I'm doing a at-home podcast on a Friday night. It's hard to tell which day it is because I took off a couple days this week, and Whisk and I are just hanging out, enjoying our anniversary weekend, trying to do a few fun things and get some things done at the same time. And been wanting to do a podcast. I've gotten a lot of call-ins, so I'm going to get to those, and it's going to be pretty much my entire episode. But this is kind of going to be a podcast about other people, not so much me, because I want to talk about the folks that you called in, some of the stuff that they're doing, kind of do some shout-outs for everyone, because there's been some new Patreons that have been introduced, a couple new podcasts, or at least one that I know of, and I want to get into that. So the first message I received, I think it's from Joe the lawyer. You just got to hear it.
Hey, Tim, Joe the lawyer here. Yeah, I agree, man. I think the OSR did start with like a bunch of people who just wanted to recapture the old days, you know, the youth, the fun, the good times, you know? It's, I don't know what, like you said, it's changed into something different now. It's about production, making stuff, creating stuff, which is fine, whatever. But I think at the beginning it was just, yeah, you want to put out, you know, you want to get into games that you had fun doing when you were a kid. It's simpler times. And plus, a lot of people had kids themselves, and they figured, let me share with my kid, you know, what the fun I had. And so they looked for something out there, and, the shit that was out there back then was so unrecognizable that they went back to the older shit. You know, it wasn't D&D to them. It wasn't what they played back in the 80s. So, anyway, let you go, buddy.
So, yeah, that was Joe the lawyer, accompanied by Mr. Bon John. John, what's his name? Ivy, I can't remember his name.
John Bon Jovi.
John Bon Jovi, yes. And the cup, what was, who does Spike Pitt think I am?
Tico.
I always want to send Tintino's because I just remember those little pizzas.
You're not a little pizza.
I'm not a little pizza, no. No, I'd be more of a barren pizza.
Yeah, one of those bigger ones.
The big ones. Everybody likes them better anyhow. So Tico, the company by Tico Terras and all those guys. Very funny. Joe is always good for a laugh. Great player in my game, even though he's bitching because I killed him. I'm sorry. But if you're a wuss mage and you go into the middle of a kill box, your ass is going to be hanging on the wall before the end of the session. Sorry, not sorry, Ivy said. Yeah, her Jersey attitude's starting to leak out a little bit. So everybody, if you don't know Joe, he's got a couple things going on. He's also got a podcast of Joe the Lawyer's Not So Wondrous Imaginings and a blog by the same name. He also on MeWe has a couple groups. The one he's got a D&D group, and I'm an administrator there. You kind of have to tell him like what edition that you belong to and everything. So if you're on MeWe, make sure you join Joe. Make sure you join his D&D group. It's fairly active. I've been adding a lot of people lately, so it's a good group, not only just to get into and talk about your game, but also talk about what's going on your podcast. Maybe you released a new product or even a Patreon. Those are things I'm going to be talking about other folks today. So that was Joe. I think next on tap I have Spike Pit. He's the one who started all this Jovi stuff, so I'm going to throw a Spike Pit in there next.
Hello, I don't know whether to call you Tim Torres or Tico Shorts. Anyways, did I hear you right or did I dream it? My dodgy memory's failing me, perhaps. But you picked up the Stranger Things starter set. Is that right? For 5e? I'm super excited about this. And I wondered whether you're going to talk about it a little bit more with a mini review or your first impressions or something like that. Anyway, man, that would be super cool. And I noticed, I've seen some photos of the cover art and I see that Hasbro have put their stamp big on the front there and they're not hiding behind Wizards of the Coast. Does this mean that it's cool to play D&D now?
Hey, Colin, thanks for calling in. And it's always been cool to play D&D. It's just taken a long time for people to figure that out. They're sort of like, Johnny come latelys. Yeah, Hasbro Gaming, big on the bottom right-hand side and Wizards on the left-hand side. And yes, Colin, I did get the box set. I haven't opened it yet. It's a nice-looking box. I haven't opened it. The cellophane is still around. I plan on doing an unboxing, and I want to do kind of a in-depth review about it. But I can tell you what it says it has on the back. It has your starter set rule book for your 5e. You know, you can get those free online, but it looks like it gives you a nice little handbook for it. Then it has the characters. Well, I should start out to say this is based off the campaign the kids were running in the first season, like when they were first playing before everything went to shit. So you get to pick your character. They've got, I think, 5 different characters. Something like that. I'm not sure. It says, pick your character. Will you be Will the Wise or Dustin the Dwarf? Get your fireballs ready and you investigate the mysterious castle and battle the ferocious Demogorgon. Looks pretty cool. They give you a full set of dice inside here. You also get 2 of the what they call the Demogorgon figures. It's weird. I don't understand. Because in the game, they actually have a Demogorgon figure. But here, these are those Thessahydras or whatever. I don't know why they don't call them that. Because they're not Demogorgons. That always kind of irks me. It's like when everybody calls what Thanos did the Decimation, which pisses me off because it's only 10%. He killed half of them. And it's just, I don't know. That bugs me. But anyway, so you get 1 miniature that's not what they're calling the Demogorgon that's painted and the other one's unpainted. And then lastly, and the thing that I'm really looking forward to is the actual adventure book for Hunt for the Thessal Hydra. I think that's how you say it. And that's supposed to have some cool, hand-drawn maps and hand-drawn pictures in there. So look for me doing that sometime. I'm hoping this weekend to get into it and read it. I was kind of surprised because, I know Amazon had it listed a couple months ago and it was going to come out in May. And then I heard that GameStop already had it. So I was like, what the hell? I got a GameStop around the corner. So I went and went to go get it. And I think I already said this story, but I'm going to say it again. Is the manager said, yeah, they had it. They got 1 copy. He bought it. said it was pretty decent. So I put in my order and I got it a couple days later and it's sitting here. I'm looking forward to getting in there, Colin, and taking a look at it. Now let's get into Colin stuff. I don't know if anybody knows yet, or I hope they do. Spike Pit, Mr. Man, has opened his own Patreon. A woohoo of approval from Ivy. So look for it don't look for it under Colin Green. It's weird. Patreon's very particular about their searches, even though they want people to do it. You have to be very specific when you go in the search. So look for Spike Pit because that's how he identifies himself there. So when you go in there, look for Spike Pit, and I'm sure he's got some links. Check them out on the Patreon. And then, of course, he's got Spike Pit, the anchor cast. Please back Spike Pit. He is, I've always called him the glue, not to say that he's sticky, but that he helps kind of does the call-ins. Did you like that?
I liked it a lot.
Ivy's laughing at that. It was funny. So, just the, you know, how he keeps everybody together, but not in a sticky way. So go play, check out his new Patreon. And I think, I mean, he's got a pledge level of a buck. He's just kind of looking to probably get a little moolah. Hopefully, you know, what's cool about this doesn't take much. I back close to, oh gosh, right now, probably close to 20 different people. And what I try to do a minimum is try to do 10 to 15% of what I make towards other patrons, and I'm probably more up to like 30%, but there's so many good ones coming out, and there's a lot of people out there that are doing really good work, and I want to support them, even if it's a buck a month. People appreciate that, so please go check out Colin's brand new Spike Pit Patreon and throw a buck at him, and that way he can buy some, maybe buy some new gaming stuff for him and his kids. And you know, it's, there's something cool about it, guys. I mean, some of you guys know out there is when you make enough money that you can go out and buy a gaming book from stuff that you earned through your Patreon. It's cool. It's a lot of fun. So when you get a chance, go over there. I'm going to add in notes to the bottom of this, of everybody's link. I know, Bug disapproves. Oh, you must have pissed off Bug Spike Pit there. So, anyways, no worries. You're getting a live podcast from Gothridge Manor on a Friday night. This is pretty difficult. So, all right, guys, on to the next message. It will be bug free, and I think it is. I'm not sure who. I'll have to check it out, and then we'll answer that one.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, I have zero E monstrosities. That's really cool. I agree with you. And, you know, it's funny. I got invited to be in a 5E game, and it's character creation seems to take forever. And I just keep thinking, why is this taking so long? Especially because the guy who's running it is old school second edition. I mean, and he's a master architect, so his maps are just absolutely mind-blowingly awesome. But I guess he wanted to try the new shiny, which I have nothing against. I love 5th edition. My kids want to play it. My nephews play it. They want me to run a game in Minnesota for them. So, but anyway, thanks for the encouragement, I'm glad that something's working for you, because this never, ever, ever worked for me, so that's awesome. Anyway, take care, Tim.
So, guys, that was John Payne. He was talking about the different monster manuals and whether, you know, the stat lines of them, and I said one of my favorite monster manuals was the 0E monstrosity ones. Matt Finch put it out years ago for Swords and Wizardry. And I love the minimalist style of it. Still one of my top favorite monster books there, because I have a lot of them. I have a few more even from last time when we spoke, when I went through all the different monster manuals I had when Spike Pit asked me. But John just started his podcast, guys. It's called The Old Sword Podcast. Listen to the first episode. Looks great, guys. I mean, it's kind of interesting. I'm coming up almost to a year of doing this podcast, and it's funny how we're already talking about like second tier, third tier, whatever guys coming out. And how much a year has made Anchor, you know what, in a way Anchor has almost become a little mini G Plus. I'm not saying it's replaced it or it's going to be as, you know, include or like include everybody. They're going to come here, but it's actually come this whole part of this community where we're having a conversation with one another. We're sharing ideas in a different way that we've never been doing before, you know, haven't been able to do before. And I think it's really cool. And John's like one of these, one of the later tiers of folks that have been coming in. And I think it's good. I mean, I see the growth, the fresh point of views, the new points of view for the conversations that we're having, and you know, try to get over to his podcast, check it out. Like, again, it is called the Old Sword Podcast, and his name's John Payne, P-A-Y-N-E. So if you get a chance, go over there and check him out, because he's definitely worthwhile, you know, to listen to. I really enjoyed his, he's got one episode right now, and I think it's really good. All right, on to the next one. And again, I don't know who it is. We'll just find out when I play it.
Hey, Tim. Evil Jeff here. Spike Pit had left a comment on your last podcast about the image he has of you and everything. And just wanted to remind you that the image I have of you every time I listen to your podcast in the car is of a gentleman. And I found out his name is Tim Story. Though if you go look at a recent picture of him, I believe he now has a shaved head. Go figure. Anyway, your last podcast, you're talking about all the prep work that you're doing to tame the chaos in your head. You know, I think we underrate how much prep work will do, because while we like to be spontaneous and do things on the fly, when you do this prep work, when it comes time to, you know, an unexpected situation, that you turn around, it's like, oh yeah, we'll just go ahead and rule that right now, because you hadn't thought about it, but you got enough background to work with it. All right, later.
All right, that was Evil Jeff. And so I had to look up Tim's story, and he's definitely a little darker complexion than my white ass. he's better looking than me. Apparently he is the director of the Fantastic Four. And now I don't know if that's a good thing. But why not? That's funny, though. There's actually a couple Tim stories. There's a bunch of Tim stories, actually. Apparently, he directed the... Oh, he directed the Fantastic Four from 2005 and 2007. All right. We'll go with that one. That's kind of funny. Man, just so you guys know, all of you are way off when you're imagining me. I'm going to have to put up a picture, because you guys, pretty soon, you're going to say... I look like, you know, I don't know, Melissa, I forgot what her name, the girl from Little House on the Prairie or something like that. so Jeff has, Evil Jeff has a new podcast, guys, another newbie to the group. He just released it today, actually. It is, it's April 5th, and he just released it a few hours ago, and it's called Minions and Musings. And he gives Ivy a lot of credit for getting him, pushing him over the fence, I think. I don't, he said he was leaning on the fence or sitting on the fence, and apparently Ivy like bum rushed him and shoved him on the other side and probably broke through the fence, because Ivy did break our fence one time when she backed into it, but we won't go into that.
That's true.
It is true, Ivy says, from the kitchen. She's making us pretzel bagels, by the way. So I'm really, so next session, I might be, I'll sound like, whoa, 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 like Charlie Brown's teacher. All right. So yeah, again, Evil Jeff has his new podcast out called Minions and Musings. Sounds like another cool one. He's kind of going to go with the tactic I do, where you basically, you know, listen to other people's podcasts and you know, take their ideas and then make your own podcast, because he's afraid he's going to do a lot of Jacksons. And I love that's such a term. Everybody's using it now. Everybody should use it. If you're not, use it, please. Where he feels like a minute's not long enough and he'd have multiple call-ins and that, doing a Jackson. So again, Minions and Musings here on Anchor. Take a listen to him. Again, his first episode was out today. So welcome to the fold there, Jeff. We're looking forward to seeing what you have to offer. All right. I think the next one I'm going to do is Froth. I think he's got three call-ins or something like that. He's been busy. So I'll see what he has, and I'll add him here in a second.
What's up, Tim? It's Frost, listening to your latest and talking about prep and everything. One thing I like about Roll 20 is, because I don't like to prep, I try to get away with as little as possible. It's kind of like a time thing more than anything, but what I like about Roll 20 is if you get on there and spend some time on the front end and put a bunch of maps for random encounters in there and kind of build out some stuff, you know, you can get a lot of that, you know, that prep will last you for sessions after sessions after sessions. So, especially if you put, go ahead and put some monsters on there. And the other thing I was going to say is I usually would always tell people not to over prep, as like a GM tip, but, more recently I've kind of realized that's a lot of people's favorite thing about the game. You know, they love prepping even if they know they're never going to use that stuff. So, anyway, now I just tell people just run the game and learn that way. Good stuff. See ya. And I'm sorry for a second message, you know, it's the 1 minute thing, but because this just popped in my head. But man, with all your mini adventures and micro locations and everything, all your maps, man, I'd have those. I'd load like 50 of those suckers onto Roll 20 and you just have a sandbox ready to go, man. I'd be using your own stuff. Shout out to the Gothridge Manor Patreon.
All right, guys, that was a double from Jeremy Froth. Frothsoff, I can have a hard time saying that. Smith, he is the proprietor and runner of the Thought Eater podcast here on Anchor. And yeah, I do plan to put, I you know what, Jeremy, I've been putting more of my own stuff into this campaign than I ever did. I had this dumbass thing where I would I always had to create new content and I couldn't use any of my old stuff. It's like I would create something. Once I created it, I put it to the side and I wouldn't use it again. I was just like, I'm done with it. I'm moving on. Or this time I'm actually, I guess, a little bit more intelligent. And I don't know. Some of my players will question me on that one. yeah, so I am putting more of my own stuff in there and using my own maps. Now, Jeremy also has a new Patreon, guys. I believe I was his very first patron. I had the privilege of being first. So go on over to Patreon. Now, this is, I know Patreon, some people get a little, but I'll tell you what, it's a cool thing. It really is. And he's just a buck. You throw in a buck and you're good to go. I mean, how many times do you go out and get, you know, we'll always use coffee as the example. Some of you guys, I'll use beer, all right? Because I know some of you got Jackson, we'll say for you, beer. how many times do you go to the store, get beer, whatever, and spend as much? These guys, like I said, it's just a cool thing to do to support someone who's producing content. Because, like tonight, it looks like Jeremy, on his Patreon is Thought Eater. So again, you have to be very specific when you're looking somebody up on Patreon. It's Thought Eater, two different words. Thought Eater, just spell it the way it sounds there, but it's two different words because if you put them together, you might not find them. And don't put in Jeremy Smith because you won't find it either. But he just released the Psionic Platypus OSR Zine 1. It's one of those like kind of cool little folding zines. A lot of people, I've been seeing this a lot lately. It's kind of funny. They've been doing a lot of small zines and pamphlet zines or three trifold zines lately, which is fantastic. It's funny that it's coming back around again because a few years back, I remember people were doing all these one-page zines and all these trifold zines. And, you know, I think it's cool. I just bought one from, I can't remember what his name is. I don't think I can pronounce it anyways. But I'll go look it up and I'll add it into the second part of this because Jeremy's got another comment coming up that is particularly poignant for Joe. So, and I'm definitely going to play that one. But he has his Thought Eater, two words, Patreon. But he released a zine of the Psionic Platypus. It's number one. Looks like he's going to try to do one a month. So not only will you be backing his podcast, but you'll be backing what he puts out on, his RPG Now stuff. Apparently, it's a drive-through RPG Now, and it is pay what you want. At least throw them a little bit of dough. You can take a look at it, but always, you know, if you get it for free, you always think, oh, I'll pay something, and if I like it, I'll go back and pay for it if you want. No, you won't. Don't even think. You know you won't. Nobody does. So make sure you at least throw a couple bucks in the till for him. It looks pretty fun, real simple. And what I love, this is the cool thing, is he's got the second one already figured out and pretty much already written. Let me see what it says here. It and his daughter has pretty much written the second one. It's based off of his wife helped him. Oh, fantastic. Next issue is already written. It features an adventure my daughter wrote when she was six. So that should be a lot of fun. I know I bought one not too long ago that Frank's son wrote when he was very young, and it was fantastic. I mean, four-armed goblins and some other fun stuff. And I'm still going to run that adventure. Sometime I'm going to throw it in there into my campaign world somewhere because it's fun. So I haven't downloaded this one yet. I'm definitely going to go pick a copy up of his Psionic Platypus. So please go over to RPG Now, go over to his Patreon. Again, his Patreon is the same thing. Look up, thanks, Jeremy, making it a little bit more difficult. What he did is he named his gaming, it's from Psionic Platypus Games, not from Thought Eater, which would have been easy, Jeremy. So when you go to the RPG Now, I guess that's defunct now, drive-through RPG, it's Psionic Platypus Games. Look it up. It's a pay what you want. Grab it. Support them on Patreon, Thought Eater Patreon. Okay. All right. And again, one more message from the Thought Eater himself, and this one goes out to Joe. Listen close, Joe. Listen close.
Tim, it's Froth. Sounded like Joe had it coming, man, so good. No, I'm kidding. Just listening. I'm sure you've already heard his point of view on it, so I've enjoyed hearing the two sides, but anyway, see ya.
You're absolutely right. He did deserve it. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Next up, the Hobbs.
Hey, Tim, it's Hobbs from Random Screed. Alas, poor Radovic and Rook. Rook, I barely knew ye. Radovic, perhaps it's a boon for Valman that Radovic has passed. Now he can actually pursue his interest in the Northmen script, which was proving difficult previously. I'm kind of overwhelmed by all the stuff that I got from Joe concerning that, and I'm not sure what to do with it at this point. But Valman is going to push for returning to Houndshead and try to get more information about the runes from the wise man he met there. I'm also going to push for maybe returning to the warg and offering up maybe one of these magic stones, or see if we can solve this mystery a little bit if we need to. In some ways, Valman, you know, doesn't care. So I guess we'll see.
Well, that is the one and only notorious Jason Hobbs, kind of identified with his rattling, smashing van in the background with the occasional GPS notification. And Jason and Joe, who called in, are regulars in my game now. They're like, I did a Monday game, and which I've spoken about a few times, more than a few times. And Joe, and tell you what, Jason is an in-depth player. He likes details, and he likes the minutiae of things, which is what I like to do too. The cool thing about him is he often asks me questions that I hadn't thought of too. So it's like, I'll work on this one section getting details, but somehow he'll find the section maybe I didn't detail as much, which is cool though, because then I can go back, fill that in, try to make it fit in and work. Now, all of you guys know about Jason's stuff, but I'm going to go through it anyways. He's got, you know, his random screed on Anchor, which pretty much started pretty much the whole OSR movement into there. Cause I know he was, I think he and I and, Matt Jackson and were kind of the one of the first ones in Anchor that I remember. There was others that I might not know of, but I know Jason was one of the first, if not the first in there. And he's the one who kind of got me to come over there. It was kind of interesting because at the time I was looking for a platform to do it. And it was just excellent timing. He's got a few MeWe sites for his Hobbs and Friends, for his other podcast, because he's Hobbs and Friend podcast. He's got Hex Crawl. Go on MeWe, check him out, look him up. And then there's also Calmada that he runs a West Marches style game. And I can't remember. There's a second one now. I forgot what it's called, like Lost Islands or something like that. But he's got a lot of things going on there, a lot of people follow him. And then he's also has a Patreon of the same thing, Hobbs and Friends. And you can go over on Patreon, look him up. You can just put in Hobbs and it'll pop up. I just did it there. So, yeah, so go check him out on Patreon, throw him a few bucks or something like that again. And then on RPG Now, he has a couple zines and adventures, but these are under Rock River Games. Just like it spells, nothing fancy, Rock River Games. Go over there, check out what he has. He's got a few PDF zines on there, his Hobbs and Friends zines that he produces every once in a while. And then there's a couple other, I think, an adventure or two on there. So, so check out Jason's stuff. You won't regret it. Now, the last one I kind of saved, and this one's from Che Webster. And it's one I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit in more detail because it means a little bit more to me, in real life stuff. So, and I want to talk about Che's new stuff things too. But first, let's hear from Che.
Hey, Tim, it's Che. Just been listening to your reminiscences about the past. No, I'm not going to talk about those, but I am going to thank you for being the guy who asked the jocks to knock it off bullying the other gamers, because I was one of the bullied gamers, and oh my goodness, I would have paid anything to have somebody like you trying to stop them from doing that. As far as I was concerned, all those athletics people were a bunch of assholes, and you know, that's what put me off sport. So, you know, thanks for being the guy on behalf of the bullied. Thanks for being that guy who stood up for others. Appreciate that.
Hi, Che. Thank you very much for that message. It actually means a lot. I'm sorry you were one of the bullied. It completely sucks. When I was in high school, I didn't go to high school very much. I was one of the ones who kind of skipped a lot. I think in my senior year, we go 180 days for a school year, and I probably missed 100 and some because I just didn't want to go, and I was bored, and I had good enough grades that I could get, you know, pass. So that's all I needed to do. And I wasn't going to spend any more time there than I needed to, but it was very important to me that people didn't pick on other people. I mean, even as a kid, I remember, and I'm not trying to blow my own horn, but this just kind of talk about a little bit of my past was, even in first grade, I remember, this one girl that I went to school with, and we went to school with, you know, pretty much throughout our, you know, career of school. But she was always getting picked on. And then she was one of those ones that nobody wanted to go out in the playground with. And you had to go out in pairs when you first walked out there. So I've always volunteered to go out with her because, one, I didn't like that people, you know, she was alone. And two, I didn't like that people would make fun of her because, I mean, not that we lived in a rich area, but her family didn't have a lot of money. So sometimes her clothes were not, she'd wear the same clothes, you know, often and that. And sometimes the kids would be cruel and pick on her. And I always hated that. Just bugged the shit out of me. And it's probably why I do some of the, you know, why I'm in the career that I am now. Cause I tend to still continue to help folks in that in that kind of situation. And even first grade, the nice thing about, I don't know if it's a nice thing, I was always one of the bigger kids in class. I mean, I'm not a monster by any means. I'm not a big guy, but I was always one of those guys who I was going to do what I wanted, even at first grade, and I didn't really care. It didn't concern me. I didn't care. It didn't concern me if people didn't like it. Like back when you're in first grade and you're walking, holding hands with a girl in first grade, because that's what you had to do when you went out to the playground, you know, they would make fun of you, and I'd be like, whatever, I don't care. I'm still gonna play battle ball and hit you in the face with my battle ball and stuff like that. So I didn't care. It's like, if you piss me off now, I'll get you back later. And then on going into high school, I tended to fall, you know, hang out with the misfits, if you want to call them that, at the time. You know, they're all like these smart guys. They're all real, you know, the eggheads. And like I said, I got along with pretty much, you know, it was funny back when I used to play football. There would always be this group of what we used to call heads or stoners. You know, the basically back then, if you smoked cigarettes, they would call you a stoner or whatever. But, there would always be a group of them. And of course they didn't like the athletes. There was always kind of like a animosity, and they would get into fights with one another. But when I would go to games, they actually made up signs for me when I would play, and, you know, they would cheer me on. I'd had my own little stoner cheering section because they always liked me, and I never, cause I got along with them. I didn't give anybody shit. You know, I've always done this. I always came to people where they were at. And I always found value in my friendships, whether they were someone who smoked pot, you know, that didn't make them a bad person. And it doesn't mean that they weren't interesting, or didn't mean that they didn't have something to offer and everything. With the smarter kids, you know, they're all, in some ways, the smarter kids were a little bit tough, even though they were the major D&D players that I did. The way Jay was talking about the physical bullying, I got a little bit of it the other way, though. They kind of bullied me intellectually sometimes. And sometimes I didn't understand what was going on, you know, but I would get, because I wasn't as smart as them at the time. I mean, these guys were all very studious and very intelligent guys. And, you know, just they were doing a lot of things that I didn't understand in school. And then they would talk about things. And then if I ask a question, I almost, this didn't happen a lot, but every once in a while, they would make fun of me for not knowing what it was. And of course, I could always come, you know, while they would intellectually kind of take jabs at me, and it's like, you realize I can shove your face into your dessert, right? So it equaled out. You know, we learned to coexist with one another. But D&D is the one that kind of brought us together. And so we could have that time together and just be people, not worry about what like clique you were in or what class you were in or anything like that. It was just us having a good time, beating up stuff, rolling dice, and drinking way too much caffeine and staying up all night. It was important, but it was also important to me for like some of my friends that were on the football team who I liked, but were still assholes towards some of my friends, to get them to understand, you know, it's not cool. Me, you know, being a jerk to them about it wasn't going to fix anything either. So it was almost like I was trying to get these guys to understand that, you know, what we're doing is pretty cool. You want to check this out. and these, while they may not be athletes, they're not jerks either. They're actually a lot of fun to hang out with. They do some intelligent shit, and you know, some of them would get into really weird shit with their, look out when they brought out the chemistry set. Oh yeah. We pretty much killed ourselves the one day, and we caught a garage on fire because we blew something up. I don't remember what they mixed together, but got a little bit more exciting than it needed to be. It was more exciting than the game that night. That's for sure. But yeah, I mean, that the Dungeons and Dragons in a way kind of, I mean, I probably still would have did it, but it kind of made that connection that allowed me to become friends with folks maybe I wouldn't have normally, because we had that connection. It allowed me to interact with them without the, you know, with other people always just kind of interfering and throwing their own shit in. It was a lot more fun that way. You know, I wasn't there to, you know, you're playing D&D. They weren't there to like intellectually dominate me, and I wasn't there to physically dominate them by any means. We were there. There was a demi lich to be killed, and so that's what we did. You know, we worked together, figured it out, and did it. So, yeah, and you know, I know it happens more these days with the bullying because you can't get away with it with social media. So, you know, I just have a hard time understanding, you know, the need to the vicious bullying that continues with it, because I just don't think like that. I'm just, that's not the kind of person I am or ever would want to be. But hopefully, Jay, because I know you work in a school and everything, there's somebody there, a couple people there that maybe have the insight to see that everybody has value and that somebody has something to offer, and that a game of imagination can bring people together from different aspects and walks of life, and like they're, and just kind of smooth those edges off, so you can get along a lot better. I mean, it really does. I mean, I think it's a common denominator with people. Cause I mean, kids like to play games. Oh, it's fun to do. And I think it's a good thing where I work at. They're starting to do a transitional age youth program. And then, I can't remember what the other term is. They have a lot of terms these days and they keep changing them, but it deals with kids. And, at first they offered me to do it because I have a lot of experience working with kids in the past. But because of the hours they wanted to do, I just said, I'd rather not. I worked for second and third shift jobs for many, many years. And I'm finally on a first shift job. So I want to keep those hours. And, but they did, when they're presenting that, I kind of put it in their ear that maybe they need to get a game night going. And not only will it help the kids get excited about something, hopefully, but, you know, teach the teamwork and teach just a lot of different things. You know, there's problem solving skills, which is a big thing for especially the kids that we're going to be dealing with at risk youth. Problem solving skills are never one of their big, best developed skills, so to speak. So hopefully down the line, I might run some game sessions with them, or at least teach them how to do it, so that way the other folks that are in the program can run it. Because they need the young kids to run it. They don't need old SOBs like me running it for them. They need some kids their age or like their peers, so to speak, doing some stuff with them. So, but again, I wanted to thank Che for calling in and giving me that short but very, you know, nice message. Now back to the important stuff though, Che. Che's got a brand new Patreon himself. I know I'm laying a lot of Patreon stuff out there for you guys, but you guys got to make a list. Go out there with a few bucks. I'm telling you, all the ones I gave tonight, the most, even if you just all send them a buck, it's only like $4 or $5. It's not a ton. You know, you can, and it means a lot to everybody who are in there. Especially when you're starting out, there's nothing more cool than when you're checking your email and you see that she got a new Patreon. I know I'm going to be doing it I'm coming up on 5 years on doing my Patreon, and I still get excited when I see a new patron. I tell Ivy, got a new patron. I believe her comment is always good, babe. So Chase got his Patreon, and it's okay. His podcast is Role Play Rescue. Go check it out if you haven't. It's fantastic. His Patreon is RPG Rescue, so it's different. So you have to pay attention to that. Yeah, you know, so it's RPG Rescue. It's definitely worth it. And guys, you know how I've been saying, you know, join them and everything. Everybody I've told about joining their Patreon, I've done it. I'm a patron on all of them. So I walk the walk too, because I think they're worth it and I think it's great. And my Patreon allows me to do that. I have a lot of generous folks like Jeremy Smith here, Frothman. He's been a patron of mine for 3 years now, something. Matt Jackson, he's got his own Patreon, has been since the beginning. Matt's been always a big supporter of mine from way back. So while it might seem like, you know, people are just trading dollars around, that might be the case in some, but it's still a good thing. It still feels like you're getting some sort of satisfaction or achievement from it. You know, like I said, being able to buy a gaming book with some of the money that you earn from Patreon is pretty cool. It is. It's very cool. It's like, I don't know if I should get this, you know, the latest, you know, Kickstarter or the latest book that came out on RPG Drive-Thru. But, you know, hey, yeah, that's right. I got like this much money in my Patreon. I can throw it in my PayPal and bam, I bought it. So, you know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool, guys. All right. I think I have ran out of voicemails. I want to thank everybody who called in. Let me go through the roll again. We started off with Joe the Lawyer with his nostalgia. And then we have Colin Green asking me about Stranger Things. Then we have John Payne, new podcaster to the business, talking about the monstrosities. And then we have Evil Jeff, another new podcaster, Taming Chaos Response. And then we have Jeremy with a triple call. And that's Frothsoff. Oh, gosh, that's hard to say. And then we have a little bit from Random Scree, Jason Hobbs. And then last but least, the call from Che. So, all right, guys, it's Friday night. It looks like it's 11:30 when I'm wrapping this up. So I might release it in the morning. Probably won't. Probably release it now. But I want to thank everybody for listening. I know it's a long podcast, but I think it's a good one. It's one I wanted to been wanting to do, and I wanted to, and I'm probably going to do more of these where I'm kind of doing shout outs for other people, and I want to drive traffic to other folks. I know I'm not the biggest podcaster out there, but if you can get one or two from my podcast, or one or two of you think it's a good idea to go over and check these guys out, it's definitely well worth it. So, all right, guys, I'm out. Take care. Roll better than me. We'll talk soon.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.